Take your Bibles this morning and go with me, if you would, to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, a little bit of a different Christmas message this year. I preached one part last Sunday morning. I'll preach another part this morning, and then, Lord willing, have a third part next Sunday morning. So kind of filling the Christmas season with a theme from this verse. John chapter 10 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." The next three words, "I am come." We celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in this Christmas season. Matthew chapter 1 verses 20 and 21, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus declared in John chapter 10 and verse number 10, "I am come." Luke chapter 1 verses 31 to 33, the Bible says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Jesus said, "I am come." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Jesus declared, "I am come." Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Jesus declared in John chapter 10 and verse number 10, "I am come." Last Sunday morning, we looked at the first part of this verse and theme. The Bible says, "I am come," and here was the first part last Sunday morning, "that ye might have life." Without the Lord Jesus Christ coming, my friend, we would still be lost in darkness. We would still be lost and we would be without life. We would be dead in our trespasses and sins. But the Bible says that Jesus declares, "I am come that they might have life." In him we have life. In him we have light. We're no longer dead. We're no longer deceived. We're no longer disobedient, or the children of disobedience, as it is related to Satan. Our destination has changed. We are on our way to heaven. We were once on a collision course with condemnation. The Bible says, "The wrath of God abideth on us all without the Lord Jesus Christ." And so all of us are faced with a decision. And that decision is the decision of salvation. I cannot make that decision for my spouse. I cannot make that decision for our sons. I can't make the decision for our church on a corporate level. Everyone must choose as to what they will do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You can on this day be delivered from your sin. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that our sin demands a payment, or it is deserving of a wage, and that wage is death. But God the Father commendeth his love toward us as sinners, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ came to take our place. Jesus says in John chapter 10 and verse number 10, "I am come that ye might have life." And so we went into that matter in depth last Sunday morning. We go to the next portion of this verse, and the Bible says in John chapter 10 and verse number 10, "I am come." No doubt that Jesus Christ came to this earth, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, met the demands of the law. He did not come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. He met all the demands of perfection. He was 100% God and 100% man 100% of the time. And Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, shed his blood, so that you and I could receive that reconciling power. We were an enemy of Almighty God, but in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the acceptance of that shed blood through grace and by faith, we can be born again. We can come to life. And Jesus says in verse number 10, I am come that ye might have life. And then number two this morning, we look at the second part of it here today. And the Bible says, number one, that they might have life. And then number two, that they might have it more abundantly. Now, I tell you this morning that it would be one thing if we only had heaven as our eternal home. When you consider what the Bible says about this place called heaven, and you consider what Jesus Christ has awaiting us, all those that have believed, we recognize that heaven is a wonderful place. I am a citizen of that place. And I'll just be quite honest, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. But Jesus didn't just leave it with our eternal home. He says, I am come that ye might have life. And then he says, and that ye might have it more abundantly. I tell you what, folks, there's so much of what is going on in this life that should be but a taste of heaven and that which God has awaiting us. Do you, as a believer this morning, have an abundant life? Jesus said, I want you to not only have life, to know me as your personal Savior, but I want you to have an abundant life on this side. Now, we don't know how long this life will last. I saw recently a couple that celebrated. I think that this is, if I read the article correctly, I believe that this is the oldest living couple. And they just celebrated their 80th wedding anniversary. 80 years of marriage. And I didn't readily see in the headline of the article as to how old they were, but I can only assume both of them either approaching 100 or already passing 100, but celebrating their 80th wedding anniversary. Now, don't you think when they reached 50 years that they thought, my, what a milestone. Wonder if we'll reach 60 years. And now they're celebrating their 80th year anniversary. Let me just tell you, folks, if you're married for 80 years, a blender will not cut it for the anniversary gift, okay? All right? A vacuum cleaner will not be sufficient. You're going to have to do much better than that. 80 years of marriage. But even in saying that, and even extending out to wherever you are in life, I know we have some 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds sitting in the service, and they think they've got a million years ahead of them. Boy, when you reach my advanced stage of life, I'm thinking, boy, I hope to make 2 years. 7 years, whatever. But the truth of the matter is, we do not know how long this life will last, but no matter how long it lasts, if we are in Christ, we can have an abundant life. Now, let me just ask you right now, are you living an abundant life? Now, if you don't have life this morning, we go back to Christ's statement, I am come that ye might have life. You're still dead in your trespasses and sins. And we invite you to come and meet the Lord Jesus Christ today. We are not saved by our own righteousness. We're not saved by our own religiosity. We're not saved by the things that we can manufacture or accomplish. We're only saved by grace through faith in Jesus and his shed blood. But Christian, you should, of all people, be the happiest individuals on this earth. And yet, time and again, I meet Christian after Christian after, I mean, I meet people that claim Christianity, and they're miserable. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. If you really have Christ, Christ not only wants you to have life, but he wants you to have it more abundantly. You should have the most exciting of all lives because you have Christ. And he said, I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. I want you to take your Bibles and travel with me from John chapter 10 all the way back to the book of Isaiah. And I want to break down a verse that I believe speaks to how Christ affords to us this abundant life. It was actually a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's related to him and what he would bring when he came. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. The Bible says in John chapter 10, I am come. There's no doubt about it, he came. There's no doubt about it that he has provided life, and that life is available to anybody and everybody that will accept his gift of salvation. I can go to every country on every continent, and I can declare to every person in every city of every one of those continents and countries that Jesus Christ died for them. He died for the sins of the whole world. Not for our sins only, but for everyone. But he came not just so that we would have life, but so that we might have it more abundantly. What we're going to look at this morning is all of the potential that is there for you and for me because we are in Christ. We are in Christ. If I were to silently or even anonymously go around the room this morning and I were to ask each one that knows Jesus Christ as their Savior as to whether or not your life is abundant right now, what would be your private answer? If I were to say to you, tell me about your marriage. Is your marriage before Christ an abundant marriage? Are you experiencing the abundance in your family? Are you experiencing the abundance of your Christian walk and the process of sanctification? Are you excited about what God is doing in and through your life? I'm not talking about trials. I'm not talking about tribulation because we all go through those kinds of things. But are you truthfully living and experiencing an abundant life? Let's walk through these verses again as they prophesied concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and we answer this question, what does it mean to have an abundant life? When Christ said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. What are we talking about? Look at what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9 in verse number 6. For unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Salvation is for all eternity, and it's a wonderful part of salvation that we're looking forward to. But Christ said, I came to give you life, and I came to give you life that you might have life on this side more abundantly. Well, how does Christ provide that? How does Christ provide a more wonderful or a more excellent, a more abundant life on this side? Well, let's travel down through these two verses and let's consider our relationship to Almighty God and our connection to these words that refer to Him. Would you notice number one with me as we consider having a life that is more abundant? Number one, God says that His name is Wonderful. Wonderful. Almighty God, as it relates to His children, is wonderful in His provision. Psalm 23 in verse number 1, the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, listen to this, I shall not want. I am blessed with a wonderful shepherd.
If you go back to Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24, you see the progression from Christ as the Savior on the cross to Christ, the shepherd of the believer, to Christ, that sovereign one that will come and reign. And right in the heart of that, David cries out and says, I have the greatest shepherd. I'm so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 37 and verse number 25, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God cares for his people. He is wonderful in provision. Number two, he is wonderful in patience. Aren't you glad for the patience of Almighty God? Numbers chapter 14 and verse number 18. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy. He is wonderful in patience, and I'm so glad that God has been patient with me. Individuals that had oversight of me and that were assisting my parents in the training that they gave into my life, I'm sure grew weary in the area of patience. And they would have said on a number of occasions, we're done, take him home. Duct tape him to the wall and don't let him loose till he's 18. You know, do something like that. But I'm thankful that people were patient. But I, even more than that, I know that my God has been very patient with me. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. God is patient with me. How many times have I failed him? How many times have I balked at what he's asking me to do? How many times have I transgressed his law? How many times have I gone back and said, Lord, forgive me again? God has been patient. He's wonderful in his provision. He's wonderful in his patience. And then number three, he's wonderful in his plans. Boy, I just don't always see the path that God has laid out, but I'm so thankful that God is the most loving caretaker of the steps that I'm going to take that I need not fear. Everything that comes into my life has already been filtered through the hands of my God because he is wonderful in his plans. Psalm 37, verses 3 to 5, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. And verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Psalm 37 and verse number 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It is significant for us to say to Almighty God, these are not my plans, I want to follow your plans. These are not my steps, I want to follow your steps. This is not my way, I want to be in your way. Oh, how many times have I wrestled with the verses in Proverbs? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. But Lord, this is what I can understand and I want to walk therein. But God says, no, don't walk in that path. Walk in my path because I am wonderful in all of my plans for you. Boy, there are times where we do not know about that next step. There are times that we are uncertain about the next one to take. The Bible says in the New Testament that we're to walk circumspectly. It's kind of like walking through the cattle stall or walking through the horse barn or walking through the pig pen. And some of you right now are saying, Pastor, why would you ever do that? Well, on occasion, I've had the task of doing something like that. And when you're walking in the cattle barn, when you're walking in the horse barn, when you're walking in and around all these individual pieces of livestock, you walk circumspectly. Ooh, I don't want to step there. I don't want to step there. And you walk circumspectly, and God says to us, listen, my path is the most wonderful way. Trust me. Trust me. But it doesn't make sense to what I can see. And God says, trust me. Trust me. When you and I go back through the characters of the Old Testament, how many people were compelled to trust God for the next step that they would take? Abraham, I want you to get up out of your hometown and I want you to go to a country. And when you arrive there, I'll let you know that you're there. So he goes down to the U-Haul center and he says, hey, I need to rent a U-Haul. And they said, okay, what's the city of origination? Well, it's right here. I'm going to rent the U-Haul right here. Well, where are you taking it to? Well, I have no idea. How long are you going to keep it? I have no idea. How many miles do you think you'll use? I have no idea. Where are you going? I don't know. Who's directing this trip? Almighty God. And when he tells me I'm there, I'll be there. Well, I tell you what, when you read Hebrews chapter 11 and you see how many times that those people were asked to take that next step in absolute faith, not knowing what would be the outcome. You want an abundant life. You want to experience the best of this life. Experience the wonderful nature of God's path and how he will direct. You see, I think I could map out a pretty decent life for myself. I think I could map it out, and I think I could declare thus and so, and I think on the other side of it, I would absolutely have mapped a great life. But do you know what I would leave out? Trials. Tribulation. I'd leave out any kind of scars, any kind of wounds, any kind of broken bones, anything. I'd leave out all that junk, and it would be nothing but peace and prosperity all the way to heaven. That would be my map. And yet, look at how God has used all these other things to bring about in my life what he knows is best. And where I have balked at certain things and where I've recoiled from certain things, I recognize that the worst decisions that I made in my life were those decisions that were outside of the path of my wonderful Lord and Savior. Oh, that I could get into the head of every young person this morning and simply say to all of you today, follow God's path. There's no better way to live life. Oh, but pastor, if I follow God's path, it may not mean this amount of money. It may not mean this amount of prestige. It may not mean this amount of this or that or whatever. But the truth of the matter is that, listen, God's way is best. And he is wonderful in the path that he has laid for us. Boy, you want to see an abundant life? Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is wonderful. Number two, the Bible says that he is a counselor. A counselor. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. Job chapter 37 and verse number 5. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he which we cannot comprehend. Job 37 and verse number 23. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. James chapter 1 and verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. My friend, if I could explain God, he would not be that big of a God. If you come to the office tomorrow and I map out exactly who God is and what he's done and I explain it all to you, let me just tell you, he's not that big of a God. But his ways are so far above my ways. If I were in God's position and I had the capacity of Almighty God and I held life and breath in my hands, I would have already used that power quite a bit. Yes! I'd start in Washington, D.C., right? Work my way around the globe. I'd put people on notice. You got 5 minutes to clean up your life, buckaroo. You know, and I mean, listen, there'd be nothing that would thrill me more than that. That'd be awesome. You say, pastor, that'd be an incredible superpower. Yeah, it would be. But I tell you what, it'd be very dangerous if it were in my hands. But you know, the power of life and death,
the power over countries and sovereign nations, the power over kings, and he elevates one and puts down another, is in the hands of an omnipotent God, and his ways are far above my ways. He is a wonderful counselor. Pastor, we've heard the best from all of the medical professionals. Okay, take it to the Lord in prayer. Pastor, we've heard the best of everyone that's speaking as to what is in my best interest for my career. Take it to the Lord in prayer. He is a wonderful counselor. Boy, you ever come across the problem and you just say, I don't know what to do? We had a toilet that the valve got stuck on it, or the float got stuck on it, and so the toilet, unbeknownst to us, just kept running. Well, what does it do when you have a septic tank? What's it do with all that water? Well, it just continues to fill up the septic tank. And so they've designed these loud sirens connected to your septic tank. And there's one outside. And I was watching a television show the other night, and a guy was on an airplane, and he heard all these buttons and whistles and everything like this on the airplane. And my son calls to me and says, Dad, what's that loud noise? And I thought, it's just the buttons and beeping on the airplane. And he said, no, I don't think that's it, Dad. Press mute. So I muted it, and we still hear it. I'm like, oh, brother, that's the warning. The septic tank is filled too much. I said, go and check the toilets. We probably have one that's overflowed. Not overflowed, but just filled the tank. Well, that wasn't enough. They also put a siren inside the house. In case you're not wise enough to answer the alarm outside the house, they put one inside the house. And so apparently we didn't allow the pump long enough, and we went back and did another load of laundry or something like this. And so the outside one, I just silenced. What does that mean? I mean, come on. What does that button know? And so I said, this is no big deal. Well, then I get up yesterday morning and I sent a text to Brother Haney. I said, Brother Haney, I'm going to be a little bit late for the men's breakfast because now the inside alarm is going off. Well, my two great sons, sleeping right through it. I mean, just, I'm like, guys, where are you? You guys should have been on this. Well, the truth of the matter is I had slept right through it too. I have no idea how long that thing was going off. And so I go downstairs and I cut that alarm off. Well, now I've got an alarm outside that's going off. I've got an alarm on the inside that's going off. And I'm just like, okay, what's the solution? Well, didn't you take any plumbing classes in your pastoral studies major at Bible college? No, I didn't. Now, that's a simple type thing, and I'm reading back through all of our home manuals and everything like this and just figuring out, okay, what do I need to do and everything like this. And there's probably a simple solution, and it's found on YouTube. That's where you go. But you know, there's a place of great resource for problems far beyond water levels in our septic tank. And that resource is an almighty, omniscient, omnipresent counselor. And I can cry out to him and say, Lord, please show me the light, show me the path, because I need counsel from on high. You come to me tomorrow and you say, Pastor, I need some counseling on this. How am I going to counsel? I'm going to give counsel from possible past illustrations. I'm going to give counsel from possible books that have been read. I'm going to give counsel from previous individuals that have been through certain circumstances, but my counsel will fall far short of the counsel of Almighty God. He knows the beginning and the end. You want an abundant life?
stay in close connection with a counselor that will direct your every step. Number three, he's not only wonderful and a counselor, but number three, the Bible says he is the mighty God. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse number 17, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward." Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse number 32, "Now therefore our God, the great, the mighty, and the terrible God, who keepest covenant and mercy, let not all the trouble seem little before thee that hath come up upon us, on our kings and on our princes and on our priests and on our prophets and on our fathers and on all thy people since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day." Jeremiah 33 and verse number 3, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He is the mighty God, and beside him there is none else." I am so thankful that we worship a God that is spirit, and we worship him in spirit and in truth. As we traveled the streets of Thailand in July, and we came across shrine after shrine after shrine, some of them far larger than others, but all to a dead God. I'm glad that we serve a risen Savior. He is the mighty God. Number four, the Bible calls him the everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 2, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father." 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 18, "And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 6, "God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 16, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, who hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace." For those that have children in the auditorium this morning, just be honest right now. There have been an occasion or two in a setting like Walmart or Toys R Us where you tried to disown the knowledge of your children. You're walking through Walmart or Toys R Us and they get away from you and they do something. I don't even want to say what they might have done. But someone comes dragging them along, and they meet up with you in Walmart and they say this: "Are you this child's father?" "Nope, never seen that kid a day in my life." You know how that is. They went down the milk aisle and they opened up a jug and just started pouring it out or something like that. I don't know. But you tried to run from any connection to the kid. Now, isn't that tough at times? They're like, "Hey, the kid looks just like you. I know this is your child." "No, it's not. I've never seen this kid before." And then they holler out, "Dad." "Oh, they got me." Aren't you glad that our Father is an everlasting Father? It's not in and out, hot and cold. God is an unchanging Father. Boy, doesn't that stand in stark contrast to so much of what the world experiences today? If you were to travel with me to any place of incarceration this morning, and you were to go around to the vast majority of the people that are incarcerated and ask them about the nature of their connection with their father, in many cases, if not most, they would say, "I didn't even know my dad." Or, "I had very little relationship with my dad." Or, "I had numerous individuals that tried to step in as my dad." But I tell you what, if you've been in that kind of human relationship and you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a far different father from this day forward. He is an everlasting father. And he says, I will be a father to them, and they shall be my children, the everlasting Father. Would you notice number 5 with me? He is wonderful. He is a counselor. He is the Almighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. Pastor, I'd like to have life this morning. If you'd like to have life this morning, come to Jesus Christ for salvation. If you'd like to have abundant life, then start utilizing the things that Jesus Christ provides for all of his family and children. And he says he is the Prince of Peace. Are you about fed up with the volume of politicians that promise peace, and yet we rarely ever see it? There's so little peace in the world, but Almighty God makes possible, or Jesus Christ makes possible, peace with God. He makes possible peace with men. And eventually, one day, listen to this, he will bring peace to the world. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 14, the Bible says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Romans chapter 15, verse number 33, now the God of peace be with you all. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 23, and the very God of peace, listen to this verse, if I could heartily recommend a verse for you to memorize as a believer. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God of peace. Two more this morning that speak to the abundantly blessed life. The next one is that of God's eternal reign. Verse number 7, the Bible says, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it. Eternal in his reign. Boy, I look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have all kinds of politicians from different political parties that will get on stages and at different times will declare that if they are the ones that are elected, that they will bring the ultimate utopia that we have been lacking for all these decades in our country. Can I say to this audience right now, and would you have clear understanding on this? There will be no wonderful reign until Jesus Christ himself comes back to reign. Our help will never come from Washington. But one day it will come from Jesus Christ. Boy, there's a lot of different laws that I just don't really like. I'll just be forthright. There's a lot of things that will potentially be passed that I just am not real happy about. And I can begin to converse on them, and I can begin to wax eloquent, and I can begin to tell you all the problems with it and how it distances us from the origination of our Constitution. But I tell you what, there'll be no one that will reign like the Lord Jesus Christ until Jesus himself begins his reign, and it will be perfect. You say, well, we have separation of powers. We have the best designed government that you could have. And we do, and we are blessed to be in this land. But it doesn't even begin to compare to what it will be like under the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can have your theory on this. Here's my theory. And if you walk out of the auditorium and you disagree with my theory, that's fine, because this is my opinion. I can't wait for the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Word of God indicates that we will live and reign with him. And I've asked for several Caribbean islands. And so I will have oversight of those places during the millennial reign. Boy, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Man's solutions and man's decisions in government, as they lead us further and further away from this book Boy, I tell you what, we're in a mess. We have people running for president and they don't even know how many genders there are. Amen. That's a better answer than they gave. Young person comes up to one of the presidential candidates and says, how many genders are there? Well, there's at least three. And I didn't get that one. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. If you run for political office right now, and you tell anyone that as you're running for political office that you believe with all of your heart that you are the product of an intelligent designer, you might as well end your campaign. What? You don't believe in evolution? No, I believe that God made man and woman in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. If you held a campaign stop at the Creation Museum in Kentucky, oh my word, it would blow gaskets. That's all I can say. In the media world, they would just blow gaskets to think that you would ever believe in such a foolish thought that we're actually the product of an intelligent designer. Boy, you just start going down through the list. And you tell people that you love the Word of God and want to follow the Word of God. And by the way, this is not to just any one political party. This is on both sides. If you tell them that you believe that marriage is between one man and one woman as God designed it, what? I can't believe this. What am I hearing? Now, let me tell you this. You'd get a lot of media attention. But the world has gotten so far from the Word of God. And yet Jesus says, when I come, I will reign in perfection. We'll know the criminal from the innocent. Because God will address it. There won't be any judge, jury, and then trying to decide, and are we locking them? No, God will reign in perfection. When you and I think about those days and of his reign, there is no end. Boy, I just am so thankful that God is on the throne. Daniel chapter 4 and verse number 3, how great are his signs, how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Can I give you one more here in the passage? In the closing part of verse number 7, the Bible says, and with justice from henceforth even forever. God is perfectly just in all of his dealings with men. Hosea chapter 14 and verse number 9, who is wise and he shall understand these things, prudent and he shall know them? For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. Boy, the toughest position to live in is the position of being a referee on nationally televised broadcasts. Now don't sit there in this pew right now in the house of God and say that you've always agreed with the referees that have made decisions. If you're an NFL fan, you very well remember the NFC Championship game last year and the horrible miscall that was there in that game between the Saints, I think the Rams, if I'm not mistaken. You remember that call that was against your team in the World Series? You remember how poorly the umpires called the strike zone? You remember the nature of the out or safe call in that World Series that you were so excited about and your team wound up losing? You know, we see this on a daily basis where people make individual calls. But on a much greater level, listen to this. God is perfectly just in his dealings with every single one of us. He's perfectly just. He doesn't make mistakes. He set before us life and godliness. He set before us those options of life and obedience and then disobedience and death. And my friend, God is perfectly just in all of his dealings with all of mankind. All these things speak to how you and I can have an abundant life. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, the word unfolds the names of this Savior that would come. Can I ask you again, as I did at the beginning of the message, are you living an abundant life? If you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, he is wonderful. He is the great counselor. All of the things that I've mentioned this morning are things that are afforded to the believer, and you can certainly avail yourself of these things today, and your life can be dramatically different in the year 2020. Say, Pastor, before this time, my marriage was just kind of traveling along, but it wasn't abundant. My family was just kind of traveling along, but it wasn't abundant. My career was just kind of traveling along, but it wasn't abundant. But in listening to these verses, I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. Boy, I can't wait for heaven. But whatever time that God has me on this earth, I don't want them to be miserable years. I want them to be wonderful years that make heaven all the sweeter. I want to live that abundant life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for the truth of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He declared to us, I am come. And in his coming, he came that we might have life, that all men might be saved. And in his coming, he has come that we might have life more abundantly. If there be any people this morning that are sitting before me that still don't have life, would you convict them of their sin and of their need of the Savior? Draw them to yourself even this morning that they might be saved. And then, Father, for each believer, I pray that we'd really walk through our own lives and just say, okay, Lord, am I living an abundant life? You promised that the abundant life was afforded to us through the things that you provide and make available to us. But how often have we failed to avail ourselves of your counsel, of your power, of your provision? We failed to avail ourselves of our relationship to the Heavenly Father. We want to make our own plans. We want to go our own way. The end result of that is loss of opportunity. Lord, would you help young people this morning to be convicted about choosing their own path and going their own way? Would you help each person that knows Jesus Christ as their Savior to take stock of their own life and just be honest with you right now? Lord, I am not living an abundant life. And I want to avail myself of these things from the Scriptures even today. Would you work, I pray, in this time of invitation. In Jesus' name I pray.